Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. And we are talking very specifically right now about an alarm. You know, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. You know, we used to sing that song years ago. And we would sing it like, woohoo! And we were singing, you know, sound the alarm on the whole. And we didn't realize, for whatever reason, that maybe because we're not tall, we didn't get it. Is that was a terrible thing. It was a warning.
Right.
It was a warning.
Oh my goodness.
We were like, damn, sound the alarm on the holy mountain. It's like, dude.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And say, oh my goodness, we've got to, you know. And so the Lord is sounding an alarm. You know, he's telling us, he's warning us. You know, I mean, think about it. If he just, you know, just go whack, you know, and it's over with.
Yeah.
And, but he does nothing unless, you know, he tells it to people who can hear and repeat what he says, which we call that a prophet. And he does that. So if we hear what he says, we can actually turn before
it happens.
Yeah, before it happens. And so, today's wisdom moment, you know, it is the 22nd of the month, and we're going to be speaking on that very thing. It is Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. It's very important. This is an accurate word for the warning. It says, a prudent man sees danger. This is the word of God. Now, this is not somebody's, you know, 4 points in the farewell sermon or anything like that. I mean, this is the word of God. So he's explaining to us. I don't know, when you hear about the law, so much of America is just integrated in the word of God, because you'll hear about the prudent man. And that comes from the word of God.
Right.
And they talk about, well, the prudent man would do this or the prudent man would do that. And so we base our law system off what the prudent man would do, you know, which is, you know, a wise man. And he says, the word of God says, Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Which it looks like to me, first of all, that if we're prudent, then we can actually make some adjustments,
right,
and not suffer. You know, because it's the simple, you know, or the foolish one that just says, yeah, whatever, you know, we're America. Nothing could ever happen to us. You know, but I mean, I got my PlayStation 2, my Xbox. What could go wrong, right?
Right, right.
I don't know the power being cut off. Anyway, so he says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Think about it. I mean, just without me even mentioning anything prophetic right now, I mean, if you just pause and you look up from your TV, if you look up from your, you know, electric device, whatever's got your attention that you're not looking around, and look around a little bit. First, look at the trees and look at the sky and realize that, you know, that puts us in a place like Romans chapter 1 says, without excuse, because we can see the invisible qualities of God from what is made, and then start getting perspective, then look around and notice it's not good. What's happening right now is not good. Secondly, notice that if you're in the Word, and you can get in the Word by choosing to be in the Word of God, you know, not only just hit it every now and then, stay in there with God's Word, abide, you know, go to iabide.org if you don't know how to actually get a good plan. We've got a plan for you. But that, you know, there's a storm being fashioned. There's a storm being fashioned. I mean, think about it. You can go to the beach and you could take sand. There's nothing there. But then you could start making a sandcastle out of that. So you're taking the sand, the typical sand that's always there, and then you're fashioning something with that. You're making something from it. And next thing you know, you have a castle. That's there. Might never look like a castle, but you know.
Right.
Then you take clay, you know, and just a block of clay, and you start pushing it around, and you know, and some people, you know, make you know, beautiful busts and things like that. I think I made an ashtray. And it was kind of, I don't think it even held that. And so, you know, when you're a kid and you're in school and you're fashioning those type of things. And so, I mean, so you're fashioning something. And what the Word of God tells us that if we, that when he'll begin to warn us and tell us, and our Holy Father who loves us will bring, allow, no matter what they're telling, don't listen to nobody who's not walking or listening, reading, talking to you from the Word of God. And the only way you can find out if they're accurate, if you read the Word yourself, you should compare everything, definitely everything that we say, but everything everybody says to the Word of God. You should be in the Word of God. You should verify Hebrews chapter 12 when he says, you know, consider hardship as discipline, that God, the creator of the universe, is treating you as a son, you know, and think about that.
Right.
And it says, and no father, you know, only a bastard, a fatherless son is the one who doesn't get disciplined, right?
Right.
King James says. And so, you know, when you're going through stuff, I always say, you know, how are you feeling? I said, I never felt like more like a son in all my life.
Right.
So we got so many hardships going on. And it's a loving father saying, you know, and it might not be because you're actually, something's going wrong. It's just, he's directing you to a different place. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to do that anymore. This is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much easier just to, you know, get that. Because if you misunderstand what God's love is for us, when all of a sudden hard times start happening, the enemy, not only do you have the hard time, the discipline of the Father, then the enemy twists it and said, well, you must be terrible or it must be bad or something. And what only thing any father is really wanting is repent.
Mm-hmm.
First go, I was wrong, Dad.
Right.
I was wrong, you know. And you can even be religiously wrong. Which may be worse than wrong. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's who Jesus dealt with the most.
Right.
Religious wrong. And you say, I was wrong. Say it with me. I was. You remember Fonzie from the Happy Day?
Yeah.
He could not say. It was amazing. Just say you were wrong, Fonzie. Say you were wrong. I'm. You know, and it's just practice it. I mean, if you had difficulty, you know, saying, if you have difficulty humbling yourself, you know, look in the mirror with no moose. You know what I'm saying? With nothing, not all fixed up. Look at your mirror and just go, practice. I was wrong. You know, forgive me. I was wrong. And once you get rhythm to it, then you go talk to the people that you've been talking to and been laden. And you go to them and says, I was, and then look down what you wrote down. Wrong. You know, and then that's all you got to do. And then God will just totally begin to restructure everything. And the believers, you know, Christians, a true Christian can relate to how we all make mistakes. And we're all, you know, we can do our best, but sometimes we do wrong. And that's why we have Jesus. And Jesus, you know, did what he did and could forgive us. And start by saying, you know, I was wrong. And somebody was recently talking to somebody, I forget who it was, but they changed their whole ministry, just turned when they realized, you know, then they say, I don't know what that was. And that's a very important thing. I really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to explain whatever that was. Just don't. You don't have to. Why? You know, whatever, you know, this is where we're going. That was wrong. And I'm saying that for one big example. Is, and we'll be talking more about this, you know, as we're getting specifics in regards to Mormonism, because we have people who are leading God's people, lots of God's people, that are standing up and telling the world, which includes God's people, that this Mormon is my Christian brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're saying that.
Right.
And right now, if you're listening right now, you could think, oh, well, what's wrong with that? Why is he saying that? Well, there you go, right there. So stay tuned in the future when we start talking about it. You know, we don't, you know, I want to get along with everybody, you know, but I'm not going to, there's only one God.
Right.
You know, and when it comes to who's God and who is Jesus to you, that is the ultimate thing right there. And, you know, and I can, you know, we can live together. We can, fight wars together on behalf of our country. We can do all these different things. But in regards to my stand for Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus is Lord. He's the only way to God. And if me telling you that, you know, offends you, you know, there's nothing I can say about it. I'm not going to not say that, you know. And we have to be, and so I think the worst lie of all, as we talk about, is a religious lie, because when they start using the same names, but a different Jesus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so with that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about these things coming. First of all, that's a huge sign. A huge sign is when we have, you know, two people running for office in our nation, you know, and one is a, says that he's a Christian, and that, but all of his fruit says, you know,
he's not.
He's not. And he's very not loyal to the teachings of Jesus. He's very empathetic towards those who are against Israel. He himself has stood and apparently, you know, threatened Israel and his behaviors and things he's doing. And that an empathetic towards a religion that denies Jesus as the Son of God and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, you know. And so that's like, okay, not good. And then the other situation is, oh, great. And I'm not saying that this one is probably a great father, a great man. I mean, just to know him personally, you would think, he's just so cool. I mean, he's a cool dude. And, you know, very intellectually stimulating and all that kind of stuff. But when it boils down to God, we can't, you know, have no differences here. And then we have the other one who's running. This are two choices.
Right.
Is obviously an astute businessman. Seems to be a real great husband and a great father and all these wonderful things. And he's unapologetic towards who he says Jesus is. You know what I'm saying? But he's Mormon.
Right.
You know? And that is the hope of a Christian nation right now. Those are the two people that are running for the leadership of this country. And this is the thing that really bothers me, that the church is saying, well, this is good. This is good. It's like, no, that's a sign. That's a sign that we've got to a point right now that we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. And with that, you know, we've been hearing very specific prophetic warnings. And when you find out, you know, some of these things that you're going to hear, I mean, you're going to hear, you know, very specifically in Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, you know, that those that you can subscribe to VFN TV, it's a free subscription. You get access to that. And you also can get access to prudent preparation. And that's what we're talking about, you know, the word of wisdom. You know, how does a prudent man prepare?
Right.
And we have something for you just to begin to stimulate your thought patterns, you know, and begin to think, you know, how do you prepare? And it's not about, you know, hunkering down and, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff we've heard in the past. It's just be prudent, you know, be prudent. Well, we are talking about, you know, sounding the alarm, you know, sounding the alarm that God does nothing unless he tells his prophets first. Think about it. Here's Jonah. Jonah did not like Ninevites. He didn't like them. He had all these mindsets about them. They were totally disrespectful to the things of God. They were unholy. They were in all these different sins. And he was right in one sense of saying, well, you don't need to hang around with them because they're not hanging with God. You know, because bad company corrupts good character. He was right in saying, hey, their doom is near because God's not going to tolerate it anymore. Because when God talked to Jonah, he said, listen, I'm fixing to take this city out called Nineveh. But he was wrong in thinking that God didn't love the Ninevites.
Right.
I mean, this is what he tells them. He says, listen, you know, they can't tell their left hand from the right. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, think about it. God said this. He says, should I not be concerned? You know, who are you, Jonah? Should I not be concerned about them? They can't tell their left hand from the right. And so it's not for us to figure in our own finite minds why God loves a people that don't love him at the time. But he knows that they have a chance. And so Jonah went reluctantly after a fish sandwich. After a seaweed wrap, he went to the spa, and then he went and and went and told them about this. He told them, he said, listen, here's the warning. The warning's coming. I'm going to sound the alarm. And you know, he's he's talking about, because he was you know, he was hoping they didn't listen. Okay, let me get this out of the way. Yada yada, God's going to knock you off, you're all bad, da da da, you know, whatever, if you don't repent. And to his surprise, the love of God met a repented people. And God, who fashioned a storm, it was who was going to destroy Nineveh from the face of the earth, that before Jonah's very eyes, his worst nightmare came to pass.
Right.
That not everybody repented, even the cattle fasted. They put like muzzles on the cattle.
Right.
And turned to God and humbled themselves, and God heard and God changed their plan, his plans.
That's right.
So don't tell me that that's not true. God, the storm is to turn us to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And for 40 years, you know, the Ninevites, you know, did what was right because one man warned them. And what we're telling you right now, there's a lot of people warning and saying, but take it as a warning. Don't take it as like, oh, that's cool. And be like the ones in Amber's prophetic dream where people just went out and looked at the storm. You looked at the tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's like, oh my goodness, what? Check yourself and see if you're in the faith. Find out if you're abiding with God. If you're not abiding with God, you're not hearing what God is saying. You know, hear what the Spirit says to the church. If you don't know how to, it's not about a Bible study. It's like John talks. It's not about reading somebody's commentary. It's not about reading somebody's sermon notes. It's about you talking with Jesus and Jesus talking with you. Mm-hmm. Go to iabide.org and request your free simple plan to do it, and it will help you. And there's wonderful things there to be able to encourage you in that. Well, in this, and you can see the whole dream and vision on VFN TV blog with Brother Kilpatrick. But it basically, all of a sudden, he was standing, and then the earth started shaking, an earthquake, and in this earthquake, it was shaking so much, Pat,
mm-hmm.
that the top plate of his teeth was hitting the bottom plate of his teeth. So imagine it's like bam, 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 bam. And then all of a sudden, of course, then you're just like, you know, terrified. Oh my goodness. And you start running. And of all the places, they ran through a school.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. What did Jesus deal with the most? The teachers.
Mm.
What were they teaching? You're teaching my people your traditions, your philosophies, while you're setting aside my commands, right?
Right.
And he runs through the school. And their schoolhouse, and you know, and it's just horrific, shaking all over the place, and then the next day, and he's out of the dream now, and he leans against his car for a moment or something in a parking lot, and it's almost like he has a vision, and he revisits that very same thing again, and he walked around for a couple of days and maybe longer than that, and he was in it, It's, you know, it's a vision, and it's where it's like you're in it. It's not versus a dream, you know, a vision. You're like, you're in it and you're moving around and it's happening to you and that type of thing. And it was, he was shaken, you know, for, quite some time, obviously, you know, about that. And then, two or three different cities, Spanish names were spoken to him. And you look where they connect with the Madrid fault line, which is like right down the, pretty much the Mississippi and Tennessee and all that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that would just be horrific. And that it was such a huge crack. I don't know if it was his word, but the crack was so huge that all the bridges in the Mississippi and all that, it split, the Mississippi split so wide that the bridges weren't there anymore. You had to fly over to get to the other side.
Right.
And, you know, America's divided. It's divided on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the truth is the church is divided. Marriages are divided. Families are divided. The nation is divided. And this is what the creator of the universe said through his son, Jesus Christ, because he said nothing unless he heard the Father say to do it. He said, anything, everything divided
will fall.
A nation, a kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our home.
Mm-hmm.
It just falls.
That's right.
You can't live in a state of division and think it's going to last. God says it don't work.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get united. We're going to have to come together. And sometimes you can't unite with that which does not want to unite with God. I mean, you're going to have to unite. You're going to have to find somebody who's in agreement with God. And give people the chance to be in agreement with God. But once they tell you, no, I don't want to hear what God has to say. I don't want to hear about any prophetic dreams or visions. I don't want to hear about all that kind of stuff. Say, well, dude, you know, or do that. Depends what you're talking to the leader, man. He said, you know, that's between you and God, but I'm going to follow God. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, you prepare. And this is another warning, you know, like we said yesterday with Chuck Pierce, the warning with the earthquake in Washington, D.C. That was a sign letting us know that prophetically spoken was Chuck Pierce. And this is on the VFN TV blog that the governments of the world are locked up. They're just kind of stuck, and they really are stuck. You're thinking like, what's really going on? And they are actually stuck because the church is stuck. The church is a religious spirit over the church. And that's what was over, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they just set aside God's commands for their traditions and all. And a religious spirit is that you know, works mentality, and you're, even though it's not in the Word of God, it's not in the Bible, everything comes about that thing, that stuff, you know, and it's not about Jesus, and it's simple words that people aren't encouraged to go, you know, read the Word of God, talk to God, listen to God, do what God says, you know?
Right.
And they are encouraged to go and verify what's being said with the Word of God. And it's just an itching ear moment right now. But the sad thing is that we're going to be itching our ears with no air conditioner soon if we don't wake up.
Yeah.
Things are about to change. And so that's another prophetic warning that's taking place right there. You can see that actually on the VFN TV blog. We have some serious things we're going to share with you in the near future. We don't have a piece just yet, but God has spoken to us about our current president. He showed us some very specific things, and we've been praying for him, I guess, thousands of hours now since then. I mean, we did originally, but then when God showed us some things, you know, that, you know, we always perceive this, Pat, this is what, you know, but, you know, if you don't, you know, you got to listen to Original 10 of America. You got to go back and listen to those, because you know, this is a government that's been designed by the people and for the people, which means you have to get involved in it. You can't just sit back and let it happen. And if we sit back and let it happen, we just think, you know, that people, one man just goes, you know, hey, I want to run for president. I want to run for congressman or senator. And he just goes for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also another way, sort of like President Woodrow Wilson, where, you know, he wasn't even thinking about running for president, but somebody that had an idea, what they wanted, the direction of the country to go. They thought big government was the key. They thought the Federal Reserve came out of Woodrow Wilson stuff, and the League of Nations, which eventually became the United Nations and after World War II, came from his administration. I mean, a lot of things, you know, came during that time. But he was chosen. He was set up to be president. And so what we're going to share with you is that we're supposed to be praying for our president and his wife and his family. And that, you know, people can get behind you as a political candidate and you don't really realize, you know, what's in their heart or what their motives are, you know, and you sell out. You sometimes you're thinking, I got to have votes, you know, I got to have people behind me. I got to have the finances to run for office and these different things. And so they start getting people behind them and they say, well, I got to have this. And so, and that's just for every candidate running. They got to really think about it. You know, I got to know the motives of these people's hearts. And if I'm going to put them, and so you can be set up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk to you how the Lord spoke very specifically to someone. We're going to have them on VFN radio so you can hear this. And that we believe that God is showing us from day one that just like Woodrow Wilson, that, you know, Woodrow Wilson was actually chosen first by people who had an agenda, and then Woodrow Wilson made a choice to run for president. Well, run for governor and of New Jersey, and then he ran for president. And he happened to be a real good speech giver. I mean, he was a professor, and when he finished giving his lesson plans, his class would stand up and applaud him.
Oh, wow.
You know, so he had that ability to deliver a...
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
I believe what we're going to share with you is going to give you a lot more empathy for those in authority. It's definitely going to give you some empathy for our president and his family, and help you focus your prayers for him. Realize that we talked yesterday that, you know, God holds the king's hearts in his hand. He directs them like an ocean. You need to go back and listen to that. And we need to begin to pray to the God who's holding his heart and every leader's heart in his hand, and get our lives right with him so that things happen well with the heart of our leaders.
Right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow. Yesterday, you can actually find that out on highlights. You're going to be really, I think you're really going to be kind of surprised, but we need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. And we believe that God has shared that with us, and we're waiting for the moment to be able to share that with you. But the biggest thing we're here telling you right now, you need to be prepared. You know, a prudent man sees danger and prepares for it, but the simple keeps going and suffers for it. Something as simple as preparation. And we have, for all VFN TV subscribers, it's a free subscription. You go to VFNTV.com. You can subscribe. And you know, you just begin to ponder the question. I mean, some of the questions we ponder, which is, you know, I have a different viewpoint probably than somebody who hasn't been in law enforcement before. But you think about it, that when you're having trouble, you know, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, that's the police officers. You know, police officers are called peace officers, by the way, mm-hmm. And then we're called bobbies, you know, over in Europe.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that something? The bobbies are here. And then, so begin to ponder some things. We got to begin to think outside the box. You know, so many people are trying to save America, and they're trying to save things, but our heart is this: we want to save the church.
Right.
You know, we want to wake up a sleeping giant. We want more Christians knocking on doors and building relationships than Mormons and Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We want people to stand up and say, you know, I'm going to build a manger scene right smack dab in my yard, even if the wind flattens it out.
Right.
I'll never forget. It's like, I want a manger scene. I want a manger scene in my front yard. I'm going to put a manger scene right there, you know. And I just quickly got some stuff and built some stuff and all that stuff. And I appreciate, you know, Pat is helping me out with that and getting it all. Man, it just looked really, really good. And then the wind came.
It was a hurricane.
Was it really a hurricane?
It was bad. It was a bad storm.
It was a bad storm. Oh, you were trying to justify your building practices.
It was a bad storm.
All I got to say is Mary got bent in two. The thing flattened Mary out, and Joseph, the Jesus, was smashed with a 4x4. It was tragic. It was tragic, man. It was the adversary.
Yeah.
And so you go out there and it's like, oh my gosh, what happened to Mary? What happened to Joseph, the baby Jesus? And it just kind of flattened out. And that was so funny. And so Mary wasn't bent over like that. That was another story in the Bible, but you know, she has an issue. She's bent over with an infirmity from the.
I'll use hurricane clips next time.
Yeah, from the stable. From the stable. That was a massive hurricane in December. Anyway, just be prepared. So we begin to ponder, you know, ponder this. Just ponder it. It's not wrong. You know, when I was a police officer, and those that are police officers can relate to this, and those that are in the military can relate to this, you know, you practice scenarios. You practice scenarios that you imagine if this happens. And then what would you do? How would you react? And that's how a prudent person prepares. You know, I mean, if you see a hurricane coming, I remember Steve Hill with the Brownsville Revival, the hurricane's coming, you know, power God is moving just powerfully. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just awesome what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so here's the hurricane coming. And so he goes out there as a big man of faith, you know. Mm-hmm. And he goes out there on the Gulf of Mexico, and these winds, you know, kind of stirring up, and the hurricane's coming. And he holds his hands out, and he says, I rebuke you, wind or storm or something. And then a big, huge wind goes, whoosh. He runs and jumps on his car and takes off. Goes back, you know, and you just prepare for that. You know, mm-hmm. we're used to preparing for storms, you know, in the Gulf Coast region, that when hurricanes come, we put like boards or shutters over the windows and some sandbags up. We think about how we build our houses. Some houses, they were built up on stilts, yeah, pylons, so it's up high, so the flood. I mean, it's called wisdom. It's a prudent person that's preparing mm-hmm. for possible danger. But in law enforcement, I would go in my district, whatever my district was, and I would drive by, and I would look at a store, and I would imagine, okay, this store is being robbed. And then I would think, what would I do? And a lot of stores, of course. I'm talking about, look at little 7-Eleven, Magic Markets, well, I don't know what they call them, all over the place. And so they normally have windows all the way across the front. Mm-hmm. So you got to imagine, you can't just go pull up. Oh, it's being robbed. We got somebody at gunpoint. Let me just pull up right in front of the store,
right?
You know, and then get shot. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they shoot at the officer first. I don't know. What is that? What is that?
I don't know. Why is that?
And when I ate in a restaurant, I used to always sit with my back to the wall when I came in there. I had a friend of mine, was an officer, Tony. I'm not going to say his last name. But Tony was eating with Russ. Mm-hmm. And they were coming out of this particular restaurant. And this you know, legion showed up, this crazy, right. crazy dude. And they grabbed Tony. At that time, Tony was a small man. And picked Tony up in uniform mm-hmm. and threw him like over the register.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's not good after you had hot sauce and barbecue, right?
Oh no.
But Russ was there, you know, Russ is, yeah, he's huge. He handled that. Well, he's
a big guy.
Yeah, he's big bone. And then and then he handled the dude and all that kind of stuff. And then we had some great stories to talk about in the muster room. Mm-hmm. But you got to imagine that. You go in there and you sit with your back against the wall because if they come in to rob that restaurant, they're going to shoot the man with the gun, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And so as a police officer, you'd always sit with your back against the wall. And if you had to eat with your partner or something, you knew your partner was looking out for you and he would say something like, hey, there's somebody about to shoot us. You know, they would say something. Yeah. Well, then I would look at the store and I would just begin to visualize, okay, then I would come in on the back side of the store. I would stand behind this dumpster. You know, I would get visual of where the clerk is. And that's called prudent preparation because stores get robbed. Mm-hmm. And so we begin to think about in the context of, you know, as a Christian, you know, it's important. And, I wasn't a Christian when I was a police officer for the first part of my career in law enforcement. But while I was a police officer, and you can find out about that, how that happened, at meetmyfather.org. But I got saved when I was on a midnight shift, which is amazing. So, yeah,
right. Right.
And God just called my name. It was powerful. But when I was a Christian officer and I would show up at a Christian's home, they had no problem me standing up and defending them. Mm. They would go, there he is right there. Get him. And, you know, we'd take him down, cuff him up, or her down and cuff him up, and we'd take him to jail. There was no problem in the Christian mentality and thinking about it's good for law enforcement to be around to protect us, to keep people from breaking into our homes. Now, here's the other question. When the hurricanes hit in New Orleans, the police officers had a question to ask themselves. They had asked themselves, am I going to go take care of my family who is in this hurricane, or am I going to stay out here on these flooded streets where people are robbing stores? One of those people was the police. Anyway, so, yeah, right. And many of them just left. And mm-hmm. so there was no law enforcement because they have families too. I mean, if there's something happening bad in your community, you know, and if the officer wasn't prudent in preparing for his or her family to be able to take care of them, they're going to be caught in a dilemma. They're human beings. They have a right to protect their family. And they may have to go to their family first and make sure they're okay, which means you're going to be alone with a condition that previously that you had a law enforcement officer to be able to be there with you because he or she had to go check on their kids and get them out of school and that type of thing. And by the way, if in fact you are friends with any law enforcement and anything happens in our country, you know, talk to that officer and say, is there any way that I can help you? Because I know if a storm hits, if something hits that's tragic in our country, you're going to be one of the first responders out there, including EMTs and firefighters. And talk to them about how you can help them out because their kids may be getting off the bus in about 15 minutes. At the same time, they have something going on in the city. And you could say, I will get your kids. Mm-hmm. I will make sure your kids are right. You can call me to see if your kids are right. I mean, simple things like that. It's time for America to be there for each other.
Right.
Definitely it's time for the church to wake up and be a light in the midst of all this. So what I'm getting at is, nobody had any problem with me showing up with a gun, with a taser, with a nightstick, which is PR-24 type thing. Mm-hmm. A police car that had a cage basically in it mm-hmm. and keeping a criminal from hurting them or breaking into their property. Now, this is the question you have to ask yourself as a Christian. The Second Amendment allows you as a citizen of America, the right to bear arms. So just like that officer, you know, if you're not a convicted felon, mm-hmm. you can actually bear arms. And it's not just for hunting, you know. I encourage you, if you haven't become a member of the NRA, become a member of the NRA. It costs you like $20 a year, but they educate you on the Second Amendment rights. It is the most intense organization that's ever been about a particular amendment. We need somebody to focus on the First Amendment the same way, but the Second Amendment, and you have the right to bear, right to bear arms and to protect yourself. And so here you are, you know, what are you going to prepare? You know, what do you do as a Christian? Because then you have, you know, that you got to ponder personally, you need to begin to make a decision. And it's talked about more things than just this, but it's just some of the thoughts about that, that, you know, am I going to let my family, you know, I think about, the father's hand in Haiti.
Yeah.
And I think about the Lashbrooks, you mm-hmm. know, think about Keith and Cindy and what they were going through down there, because they had somebody that broke into their orphanage and in Haiti, and they were robbing them, trying to rob them. Mm-hmm. They were attacking their children. They put their throat on Keith's son's foot, on Keith's son's throat, Daniel, which, you know, I hadn't got a chance to spend any personal time with Daniel, but Jared did, my son. He spent, you know, time down in Haiti, and he seems to be a real, real cool dude. I really like to meet him. And I had spent time with Keith and Cindy. Anyway, so here, you know, here's this man. He has a family. He has a ministry. He has a home in Haiti, and they're robbing them. They got him at gunpoint. They're abusing them, you know. And you have to ask the question: what do you do? Do you turn the other cheek? You know, do if they come in and punch your wife on one side of the cheek, do you say, "Honey, turn the other cheek"? Yeah, man. You got to think about it. What do you do? Mm-hmm. What do you do? And Ecclesiastes says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for certain things, seasons for things. Mm-hmm. And the Christians that came to America and fought for America, it was gruesome what happened to be able to have the freedom that we have today. Our troops that fight for our freedom and maintain freedom in different places around the world, it's gruesome mm-hmm. some of the things that they have to go through and the prices that families have to pay. It was no problem for us as Christians, when a Christian officer would show up, or a non-Christian officer, but just say a Christian officer, mm-hmm. that he would pull his gun or pull his weapon out, and he would say, stop and arrest people. So think about it. You got to ponder this. Is it okay? Is it okay? And you're the only one that can answer this, and you got to go how God is leading you, and you need to educate your family and your friends how you're going to pursue that. But according to the Second Amendment, it is legal for you to possess firearms, to protect yourself and to mm-hmm. defend yourself. Every right. state, you know, there's a lot of states and other nations that are hearing us right now, but in every state has their own laws, you know, what you can do and what you can't do. And you need to find out what those laws are and abide by those laws, but understand that you have a right to protect yourself. You have a right to protect your family, and you got to find out, what are you going to do to do that? You know, what effort, what energy are you going to put forth to do that? Are you just going to say, listen, you know, if the hurricane comes, we're not going to board the windows. If the flood comes, we're going to put anchors on our feet to make sure we drown. Yeah. You know, if my wife gets punched on one side of her face, I'm going to tell her, honey, turn the other cheek. And I don't believe that's what the Lord will say in the context of that, because the first time he sent his disciples out, he sent them out and says, take nothing for your journey. Mm-hmm. And once he taught them and they understood that he would be there for them, he sends them out again. He says, this time, take your coat, sell it, and buy a sword. Mm-hmm. In other words, arm yourself.
Right.
You know, and it's not wrong to defend yourself. But I remember one Christian officer. He was a trooper, and he was on the interstate. That's a real tough. You're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, pulling people mm-hmm. over. And this guy was reaching in his glove box. He had a gun in the glove box, and he said, "Don't do it." He's from Georgia. He's like, "Son, don't you pull that gun out?" He's like, he goes, I'm going to do it. He says, don't do it, son, don't do it. He goes, something else. And the guy, officer goes, do you know Jesus? If you don't, you're about to meet him. So he was witnessing in the context of exercising his authority,
yeah,
right?
Right.
You know, two evangelists, you know, one to win you and one to sin you. Just I want to encourage you. These are serious thoughts, because we lived in such a blessed land that, you know, you could just send your kid to the store at one time. There was not a big deal that would happen. But now you have people that are getting nervous. They're getting scared. They're losing their jobs. I mean, we have a huge entitlement type provision that's happening in this country. So some people have never, ever, 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 ever got a job. They've never worked, and they were dependent on something coming in every month. And if that stops coming, you know, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do if all of a sudden that the that month's check does not come?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, what are we going to do? Because a lot of places that are dependent on that kind of bondage, I believe that the enemies use that to put them in bondage. And our desire is to empower them and to show them that they can have their own business and they mm-hmm. can be set free. We've seen that. I know somebody right now I'm thinking about that they were in that predicament. And I told them, I said, listen, you're going to have to cut that off to be able to trust God and go. And it was a big thing for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut it off, and immediately God blessed them with their own house.
Yeah.
And has blessed them with so many wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And even a brand new house later on at half the price.
Half price.
And God gave me a dream
mm-hmm.
and sent me to a meeting I never would have went to
mm-hmm.
and reminded me of the dream. And I brought up the word of God, what God was saying. And they literally built a house for this man for half the price just so that he can move in it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
But he first had to cut off the bondage.
That's right.
In a government support. No, it's not wrong. It's not what I'm saying. But they're telling you that you cannot go out and make more than this amount of money if it's not a stepping place where you can, it carries you for a season. It just, you know, or it says you can't be married. You can only be a single mother. And that promulgates, you know, single parenthood, because if she marries, then she can't have this kind of support. That's bondage. You should be able to be normal, and it should be there to help you out and empower you to be all that you can be out there. But what's going to happen when these things stop? You know, what's going to happen when somebody can't afford their power bill?
Mm-hmm.
You know, immediately when the heat waves come in, you know, we have to really watch out for the elderly because they cannot handle a lot of heat. Well, if there's no electricity,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? There's so many things to think about. So prudent preparation is available. Prudent preparation is available for you as a VFN TV subscriber. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe. You will see some parts of VFN TV that are available for you right now. You don't have to be a subscriber. But there's so many things back there, such as, you know, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You got to get a perspective of that. You're going to be blown away when you find out what's really going on. So if you watch that first or listen to that first, when we release this word of knowledge and this prophetic word about our leader and how we have to be, as the church, we have to understand that God is fashioning a plan. God loves Nineveh, and that he's just we'll just release that at a specific time. It's very important, the timings that we release that. But and it's really neat. I get a chance to be able to sound the alarm. I sound the alarm. You have the opportunity. You know, the person, a prudent man, sees danger, it prepares for it, but the simple just keeps going and suffers for it. Listen, why suffer? Think about it. Why suffer? Why not just go ahead and just begin to ponder the idea of preparing for it? We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.